Welcome to the Happiness Podcast. I'm Dr. Robert Puff. In our quest for happiness, as we get happier and things start working well because we have our mind and our heart in a much better place, and we start applying the principles of impermanence, living in the present moment, flowing with things, I've learned over the years that sometimes we get the idea that things just start going smoothly for us, that we stop having tragedies and bad things don't happen to us anymore. And that actually isn't the case. Things continue to happen to us that many people would look on and say, "Wow, I'm really sorry for you. I'm sorry this is happening to you." Tragedy still strikes us, no matter how great a place we get at in our lives. Let's think of an example that illustrates this. The Buddha, who clearly was an enlightened being, lived many years after he had his first enlightenment. And though he lived for a long time into his 80s, he didn't just stay healthy, fit, and everything went well for him. People that he loved died, he got older, his body wore out, and he got illnesses. Again, what we think is that if we get to that point of happiness, that everything's going to go smoothly. Let's use a Western example. Think of Jesus. Though his ministry wasn't as long as the Buddha's, and his life was cut short, during that 3 years where he surrounded himself with people that loved him, there are many people that still despised him. And in the end, even those who professed to love him turned against him, and he was left very much alone. And clearly, he died a horrible death. So it isn't as if that everything's going to go smoothly once we reach a point of living a happy life. That isn't how it works. A more recent example would be the Dalai Lama. If we've ever heard him speak, or if we know anything about his writings, he is clearly an advanced human being. And if you meet him or see him, he seems like a very happy human being. But we'd probably be hard-pressed to meet someone who hasn't gone through more tragedy than the Dalai Lama. I mean, most of the people he loved have been killed or tortured. So it isn't as if everything goes smoothly when we are happy. That isn't what happens. But how we deal with it is what matters most. And we can deal with it in a way so that our lives still go beautifully, even when tragedy strikes. But the misnomer is that tragedy won't strike once we get there. I mean, if we live long enough, the one thing we're pretty sure is going to happen is we're going to lose our parents. And if we have a close relationship with our parents, that's going to be something difficult to deal with. Again, if we live long enough, we're going to get illnesses. I mean, we die through illnesses or accidents. Some people die quickly, but most of us are going to get an illness and die slowly over a period of time. Or another one is financial. Very few of us anymore have 30, 40 years of a steady job, retire, and then financially live well for the rest of our lives. Most of us have ups and downs along the way. We gain things, we lose things. Things go well, things don't go so well. This is life. Life is filled sometimes with tragedy. And sometimes it can come in a big burst too, where we get a lot of it all at once. So let's talk about, what do we do? How do we handle these tragedies and still be happy? So there actually are three things that we can do when bad things happen. Let's start with number one. The first one is, we have to acknowledge that they're going to happen. We have to accept that in life, no matter where we get in life, no matter how well it's going, that sooner or later tragedy may hit, and probably will. Thinking that we can reach a place where we avoid tragedy is a misnomer again. It is going to happen. That's the number one thing. Accept that life is sometimes not going the way we want it to. We just have to stop and say, okay, I really don't want this to happen. That's number one. But I acknowledge it's going to happen. It happens to all of us. And if we say it isn't fair, it shouldn't be happening, this isn't right, we're going to struggle. We have to acknowledge that life includes suffering. When we live, we do suffer. It's just part of life. But what do we do so the suffering is as minimal as possible and that our lives go well? The first thing we do is we acknowledge that this does happen. I'm not doing something wrong. There may be things I need to learn and change, but life includes this. Sometimes it is a bit preventable, sometimes it isn't. But part of being human is making mistakes. We are going to make mistakes that have consequences sometimes to us. For example, I think a lot of people, unfortunately, do drink and drive, even though it isn't a healthy thing to do, and they don't mean to ever hurt anyone, but sometimes they do. Sometimes they're driving home and they've had a few extra glasses of wine than they ought to have, and they get in an accident and they hurt someone. Perhaps they hurt their family in the car with them, or they hurt other people. That can happen, and they made a mistake there. But it isn't going to do them any good to say, this shouldn't have happened, this shouldn't have happened, this shouldn't have happened. Or let's say they're the person in the other car. They got hit, and they weren't doing anything wrong. Are they going to say, too, this shouldn't have happened? I mean, who should it happen to? Sometimes, in life, tragedy strikes. And when it strikes, it can come from two situations. One is where we had nothing to do with it. It's just accidental. But the other is where we had a part in it. We actually caused that tragedy to hit. Perhaps we have a heart attack because we eat fast food all the time. Perhaps we eat super healthy and we still have a heart attack. Tragedy can strike in so many ways. And as I said, sometimes it's our fault, sometimes it isn't our fault. But mostly it's probably a mixture of the two. It's partially our fault and it's partially the other person's or the circumstance's fault. I mean, think of relationships. Almost everyone, if they live long enough, is probably going to go through a breakup, through their high school sweetheart, or through a divorce, through something where the relationship that they wish didn't end, ended. And usually, it's a combination of the other person's fault and our fault. It's never just one person's fault. I mean, even if we think we did everything great, we did pick this partner. So, when we look at tragedy, we have to acknowledge that tragedy hits, it's going to hit. It has sometimes nothing to do with us. It sometimes has everything to do with us. And usually it's a combination of the two. But it hits. And what is relevant is that we deal with it appropriately. And how we deal with it will help us get back to our level of stability, to our level of happiness, as quickly as possible. We can stay in the quagmire of unhappiness our entire life. Or we can change and make things better ASAP. So let's talk about how we get back to our place of happiness after tragedy hits ASAP. So the first thing we do, remember, is acknowledge that we aren't exempt from tragedy. We're going to make mistakes. Other people are going to make mistakes. Life just happens. And when it happens, it can be painful. So let's stop fighting it and saying, this shouldn't be happening. It is happening. Now let's work towards dealing with it. And the second thing we do is we say, what can we do to make this better? What do I have in my power to rectify this situation right now? For example, let's say we got in that car wreck with a drunk driver and it wasn't our fault, but we now are in the hospital. We need to get well. We need to get physically fit again. So what we do is we sign up for physical therapy. We go to our doctor's appointments. We do our treatment, and we just focus on getting our bodies better. If we need to go to court, when it's time to go to court to deal with the situation, we do. But mostly, we just proactively do everything in our power to get ourselves better, not focusing on what went wrong and why we're stuck, but mostly just proactively making things better. But let's reverse it. And this time, let's say we were the one that was drinking and driving, and we caused injury to other people. Then what we do is we look at our behavior and say, well, what caused me to drink and drive? I should have known better. How do I make sure I don't do that again? The number one way to preclude us from keeping stuck and doing behavior over and over again is not beating ourselves up. I've talked about this many times in this podcast. So we can use the phrase, what can I learn from this? And part of learning from this might be going to 12-step meetings. It might be getting involved with therapy. It might be meditating. It's going to be proactively doing things to change our behavior so that we don't do it again. But beating ourselves up isn't part of that. We may have to spend some time in jail. We may have to make reparations financially for the damage we've done. We may have to apologize to the people that we've hurt and their family. But what we do is we don't beat ourselves up. We just proactively do things to make things better as much as we can. We have to differentiate what we can fix and what we can't, and then we let go of what we can't. Let's use an example of a breakup. Again, let's say someone we love has asked us to end the relationship, either through a divorce or through a breakup. What do we do then? Well, we do proactively see if there's something we can do to repair it. We may ask them if they want to go to counseling, if we can talk about it, if they could tell us what we did wrong and work towards rectifying our behavior. That's what we do. We proactively see if we can fix it. And mostly what we do, though, is we focus on what did we do wrong so that next time, whether they take us back or when we get in a new relationship, the behavior that was dysfunctional on our part, we change. We change it by learning from our mistakes. Now, the mistake may be that we just picked the wrong person and they're not compatible with our personality. So we try to be more scientific about it and not judgmental. We do want to change the things that are unhealthy, but we also want to look and see, is there something that we could do differently in picking a new partner next time around? Because a lot of it is, we're just not matched well with that person. We look at our behavior that we can change, and then we say, how do we make this relationship, if we do fix it, better? And if we don't, how do we make sure the next relationship is better? Let's use an example of illness. Let's say we go to the doctor and we are told we have a cancer. So what we would proactively do in this situation is we'd look at it and say, okay, doc, and we get on the internet and search too, but we'd say, what can we proactively do right now to make my body work towards healing? And then we do that. We proactively do what we can do, and then we do that. Now, many of us may do part two well, except for one thing. We tend to be very self-critical. But where we do get caught is that we don't move on to part three. In part three is where we're going to spend most of our time. When we go through tragedy, most of our time is going to be spent in this part. So let's make sure we learn it well and apply it in our lives. Well, what is part three? Part three is living well now. So part one is agreeing that tragedy strikes and we're not bad for having it happen. It's just part of life. Part two is that we're going to do everything in our power to see if we can fix it and make it better right now. And then part three is immediately after we've done the things to make it better, we just live. We live life. And we mostly give that tragedy little or no energy. It's best if we give it no energy at all, except when it's time to proactively do something about it to make it better. Let's use an example of the car accident after we got hit by a drunk driver. So we wake up in the morning in the hospital and we say, okay, what do I need to do right now to get this body of mine better? And we do that. But there's huge gaps of times where we're not doing physical therapy, where we're not getting our body better. What do we do then? Well, then what we do is we enjoy life. We talk with the people that are visiting us. We read good books. We watch TV if we can do that. We get outdoors in nature, especially if we can do that. But mostly what we're spending our time doing is just living life. And we're not even thinking about the tragedy. We're just living life, even if it means we're in a wheelchair. No matter how bad the tragedy is, of course we do things to make it better. And part of that may be grieving, but we can't grieve all day long. As a clinical psychologist, I have found that people can grieve about 5% of the day, and that's all they need to get well. If they grieve all day long, they tend to be depressed and they're actually not getting better. So grieving, which is essential towards healing, is not something we do all day long. It's a small part of our day, an important part, but it's a lot like working out. We can't work out all day. We can't grieve all day or be angry all day to get better. We can spend time doing that, but mostly we just live. Now let's turn to the example of a breakup. We do proactively do things to rectify it. We do things to make it better, to learn from our mistakes, for if the person will take us back, that we get better, and if they won't, so that we make better choices next time around and learn from our mistakes. But mostly, that doesn't take much time. So most of our time is just spent living and loving life, living in the present moment and loving. Now, what will happen is our minds will distract and want to start thinking about the breakup over and over again. Each time we do that, we say, can I do anything about this right now? If the answer is no, then we actually don't think about it. We just get back to living life. If we're going for a walk, we just walk. If we're with our friends, we're just with our friends. If we're sitting around bemoaning the loss, then we're stuck. We need to do instead is get out there and be active and heal and distract ourselves. Again, there's time for healing, but there's mostly time for living. And what we tend to do is we spend a lot of time after a breakup just grieving and staying stuck and not getting better until we ultimately just distract ourselves with something else. This isn't about distraction in an addictive sense. An addictive distraction would be, I feel bad, I don't want to feel bad, so I'm going to take this drug, whatever it is, alcohol or drugs or another relationship or food, to not feel this. This isn't what this is about. This is about, okay, have I done things now to proactively make it better? Then I just get back to living how I have always lived well, just by having a childlike approach to living, enjoying the moments, each moment well, being present with what is, not thinking about what isn't and what we've lost, not being in the future, not being in the past, but living in the now, enjoying life presently without thoughts, just flowing with life. And again, when our thoughts start kicking in, we ask, is there anything we can do right now? If their answer is no, then we get back to just flowing in the now without all those thoughts of ours. Thoughts are based upon criticism. Thoughts are based upon wishing things were different, desires. But when we tend to be in our thoughts, we're not living in the now. So let's use a third example, a more intense one. Let's say we did cause someone to die in a car wreck because we were drinking, and now we've been sentenced to 5 years in prison. Whoa, that's a big deal. What do we do? If we have made amends, and if we're going to meetings to learn from our past mistakes, then what we do in prison, we say, okay, I've got 5 years, I'm going to be here, how do I make this work well for me? Perhaps I'm going to get into a good physical activity. I'm out of shape. I'm going to start working out regularly. Perhaps I'm going to start taking some courses they offer here. Perhaps I'm going to learn an online skill. Perhaps I'm just going to get involved with some groups here and meet some great people. I'm going to do things that I need to do to live well now. Even in prison, we can do that. It's about living in the present moment. My guess is there are some people in prison listening to this podcast. The key is not to spend the time blaming yourself. I talk about that ad infinitum. It's about, how do I live well now? Can I get outside a little bit in the courtyard? Can I take classes? Can I just connect with people? Can I just enjoy my food, enjoy my time, and just be? Meditation is a great thing to do, really, when we're in prison, because we have a lot of time for ourselves. So we can really proactively do things to get better. I actually know of a person who is in prison for a lifetime and is even on death row because of some choices that he made that had consequences to them. And he's used that time to really develop his meditation practice and gotten to a point where he's very much living in the present moment and living well. We can do that no matter what hits us and turn it into something beautiful. There's always something beautiful we can create no matter how much tragedy strikes. I know sometimes it strikes a lot, and it's hard to make sense of it. And we may never make sense of it until we go to heaven and God explains it to us. But till we get that answer, mostly it's about living in the now and not thinking about it unless we can proactively do something about it. And the truth is, that's not much time. We can do some things, but mostly we're just going to live in the now, no matter how hard things are right now. Getting back to the now is always the solution. Living well in the present moment, loving what is, accepting what is always a key to happiness. So in review, there's three things we can do in order to deal well when things go bad. What are they? First, we just acknowledge that that is just part of life. Sometimes tragedy happens. Sometimes it has reason to it, sometimes it doesn't, but it is part of life. Things will happen. Bad things happen sometimes. The second thing is we do everything in our power to make it better. What can we do right now to make it better? And then the third thing is, after we've done what we can do to make it better, we just live life well now. We focus on the beautiful things in our life, nature, our friends, the things that are going well. We spend our energy just enjoying those things, which right now in our world are beautiful. And as I talk in other podcasts, there's always something beautiful to be with. Always. So, we can have beautiful lives even when bad things happen. Happiness is always there, always available, if we choose it. So thank you for joining me on the Happiness Podcast. If you'd like to learn more about the world of happiness, please go to www.happinesspodcast.org. That's happinesspodcast.org. If you are being helped by these podcasts, it'd be great if you could leave a comment. Just go to happinesspodcast.org. In the left-hand column, you'll see a little Yelp icon and a little G+, which stands for Google Plus. And if you click on them, you'll see a place for a review. Just go ahead and leave a review. You may have to sign up, but just go ahead and leave a review. That helps other people around the world learn about these podcasts. So until next time, accept what is, love what is.